From Philippians chapter 4, I believe in the first of three comments. It's really a verse that is an introduction to our message tonight. Philippians 4 and verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Father in heaven, we desire that your Spirit would lead us tonight. God, give to each one of us a blessing such as we need. Lord, maybe it's a challenge. Perhaps, dear Father, it's a conviction. Or, Lord, maybe it's a word of encouragement, comfort. So many different needs, Father, represented in us who are here tonight. And we are so grateful, Father, that you are God who is able to meet each of our needs while you bless us together as a group. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Pat has received several thinking of you or get well cards, and one of them had a little saying that the sender had clipped out of a magazine or from someplace, and it had this on it, and I thought, this is good. You'll want to remember this. Faith makes things possible, not easy. Okay? Let me repeat it. Faith makes things possible, not easy. You know, sometimes we expect that when our faith is working, things will be easy. Remember that one. That's a good one. And the lady who sent the card and put the clipping in has many things through which she has learned the truth of that, that have taken place in her life. Now, several weeks ago, I referred to Psalm 37 and verse 23. Maybe you'll want to turn to it, Psalm 37 and verse 23. You know, there was a time when I was preaching that I would say, now, Psalm 37, verse 23, turn to it in your Bible. Don't just sit there, take your Bible, open it up, and turn to it, you know. And, oh, I'm going to get people to do what I want them to do, what I want them to do. And then there's always those who just sit there, I'm not going to turn to it. And so, I guess when you get old, you get soft. I don't know. I had a lady tell me one time, she said, Pastor, I said something, and then she complimented me, and I said, well, I guess maybe I'm mellowing. And she said, look that up in the dictionary. So I went home, and I looked up the term mellow in the dictionary, and it defined it as the state of a piece of fruit just before it turns rotten. I always thought of mellow as a positive term. Of course, the same lady, years and years ago, excuse me, I gotta fix this chair, this one bugging me all night. The same lady who said to me one time, she said, you know, you are verbose. And I had to go look it up in the dictionary, and that means wordy. Yep. Yep, that would have been an accurate use of the term. Psalm 37, verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Verse 25 was my one grandfather's favorite verse. It says, I have been young and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. A few weeks ago when I read Psalm 37, verse 23, I stated that there is a debate amongst many good people regarding the steps of a good man ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. And I asked the question that's asked in a lot of study books, and that is, who's the he? Is it the Lord who orders him? He, the Lord, delights in his way? Or is it the good man? Okay? He delights in the ways of the Lord. And I never could figure it out. And then we went to prayer group, and pastor solved it. Just like that. I've been reading it for years. Couldn't figure it out. Look at verse 24. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. The steps of a good man ordered by the Lord. And that good man delights in ways. And though he may fall, he'll not be totally cast down, and the Lord's going to uphold him. And, you know, pastor, that solved that.
Okay.
That made that real simple. And so, you know, I believe, based on the 24th verse, that the he delights in his way is the good man.
Yeah.
You delight in God's way, and that would surely be true. Now, the other is also true. God would delight the good man who walks in his way. But nevertheless, there's just a little extra for you. I want to look tonight, and this might mean something. My wife says it doesn't really mean a lot, but I only have one page tonight. And so I think I said it here already. I made a mistake one time to tell people how many pages were in this message. Wow, there's 10 pages in this message. People would watch me peel them off. So, I try not to tell them how many pages are in the message, you know. Just keep them guessing. Proverbs chapter 10. And Proverbs chapter 10. And you know, I learned something regarding one of the situations in preaching from notes is that for convenience, the speaker's convenience, you can write a scripture down and then you can instantly refer to it. But you can end up going through a whole message referring to scripture, but because you're reading it for the people are not looking it up themselves. And something can be missing that way on the part of those to whom you're speaking. And now there are times where you may not want to turn to a verse because you're merely quoting it to make a quick point. But in Psalm or Proverbs chapter 10, and verse 20, it says, the tongue of the just is as choice silver. The heart of the wicked is little worth. So the steps of a good man. Okay. Now here in verse 20, it doesn't use the term good man. It uses the term the just. It doesn't say man, but that's what's inferred. The just man. The just man is as choice silver. And choice silver, of course, is a precious commodity, a valuable item. And so, but you see, do you notice? It says, for the just man, it uses the term tongue, but then for the evil or the wicked, it uses the the term heart. And so, you know, you think to yourself, how come it doesn't say the tongue of the just and the tongue of the wicked? How come it doesn't say, you know, it says the heart of the wicked? How come? Why doesn't he say the heart of the just man? He uses two different terms. But you see, they're really the same thing. because it's out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaketh.
Yeah.
And so, in a sense, they're one and the same.
Yeah, that's good.
What we're dealing with is our speech, how we talk, what we say. That's the subject I'm looking at tonight. And the tongue of the just, that's valuable. In Matthew, I referred to the out of the abundance of the heart, but I want to turn to Matthew chapter 12 because in Matthew chapter 12, verse 34 and 35. Matthew 12, 34 and 35, where the Lord says, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. And in like, he says, an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. And so when somebody is speaking wrongly, it's because wrongly is what's in the heart.
Yeah.
Now, in the case of a Christian, it may not mean that that's how they are constantly and consistently, but it does mean that at that moment that they say something that's not honoring to the Lord, that's what's controlling their heart at that time. And so he makes real clear here, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. This is why it's so important for us to be in fellowship with the Lord, be in prayer, be walking with him, you see, because then he's the one who's going to be controlling what we think about. That's like the first verse, Philippians 4:8. Whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever, think on these things. Because if you're thinking on them things, then that's what you're going to talk like. People don't like to be around a person whose language is foul and dirty. Now, depending on where you go, a business, a place, you know, sometimes family, you know. Just depending on what segment of the family you go to, you're going to hear that kind of language. It's not pleasant to be around. You ever been places like that and you feel dirty when you leave?
Yeah.
You know, like you need to clean up inside? And there's where quoting some scripture, singing some songs can help do that cleansing, you see. And who likes to be around a person whose language is critical? You know, that is true of anyone, but it's especially grievous of a Christian. To be around a Christian who is just critical. And you know, no matter what it is, they just have a critical spirit. And so they're just always criticizing things. Now, please distinguish that from somebody who finds themselves in a situation in which criticism of the situation is in order. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about an individual who their disposition is critical. And just, you know, it's just not language. It's good to be around. And who wants to be around the person whose language is bitter and mean? You see, they may not be foul and dirty in their language, but boy, they're just always bitter, always mean. And, you cannot build yourself up spiritually by hanging around with people like that.
That's right.
You have got to hang around with people who are going to strengthen you.
Yes, sir.
And you need to be the kind of person who will strengthen others. Now think about that. Yes, Bob.
What if you work for that guy?
then it's very possible. Yeah. Then you just pray, God, give me grace. And because there are situations where you cannot control it. You are in such a contact that can happen in family. Okay? I mean, there are some situations with family where you can choose when and how often to go to, but you can't totally avoid family, because how are you going to be a testimony to them if you totally avoid them? And so some, one extreme, like Bob saying, where you're just forced to be around it, and you just pray, God, give me grace, help me to be what I should, in this case as an employee, but to not be drawn into it, or, within a family situation in the same way. And such language is really of little value. There's little worth to it. And I'll tell you, it's a sad situation when sometimes we have some good neighbors where we live, and it's really not a problem with them as neighbors. I don't have to, I don't have a language issue with them. I mean, it's pleasant. But then there's sometimes where you can be with Christians, and there are such issues, and that ought not to be. We ought to be able to be helped by each other. Now, Psalm 34. Psalm 34, and I'm going to start at verse 11. I'll read several verses here. Psalm 34, verse 11. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. All right. Now, the things that he's going to say has to do with fearing the Lord and what it means to fear the Lord. Now, remember, fear the Lord isn't, the use of that word fear isn't the same as when you meet an angry dog, okay? And if you're like me, then you're afraid of that dog. And they always tell you, now don't let that dog know it. Well, I'm glad I learned something not long ago. And that is, your body emits, okay, a chemical or something that dog can, in other words, he doesn't just sense by looking in your eyes that you're a wimp. But I mean, there's something that your hormones, your body, your chemicals, and then not just the sweat that you might do. There's something I read recently that happens. And that sure gave me some peace, because I've tried to be real tough and real brave sometimes. But that dog knew I wasn't. And what it was is he had something he could smell on me. And I even washed. But anyway, come ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Okay, whoever wants many days and he loves life and he wants to see the good. All right, here's what he says to do. Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. You see? It's what we say. If we're going to achieve some of the things we want, then we've got to control what we say.
Yes, sir.
In other words, we have a lot to do with our own spiritual growth. Now, it is God who works in us to enable us to grow in grace. But you see, if we're not doing what we should be doing, then he can't work in us. And we're stymieing him. And so he tells us, keep thy tongue from evil. And you say, well, what do you do when you say something you shouldn't? Well, you confess it. You tell the Lord. If you are in a setting where you can audibly say it, then audibly say it. But if you're in a setting where you can't audibly say it, then in your heart you communicate to the Lord, Father, I shouldn't have said that. Let's face it, there's situations we meet. There's things that happen. Now, I don't have the swearing problem that I had when I first rededicated to the Lord. I can honestly say I don't have a swearing problem. But just depending on what happens, I might say, oh. Sorry if your bubble been crushed because you thought I was perfect. And you found out I'm just like you are. Yeah. Okay. So that happens. What do you do? Forgive me, Lord. I know better. And keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Evil and guile. What is guile? What is guile? Pastor, do you know off the top of your head? Guile?
Guile, kind of an evil, sinister plot behind what you're thinking.
Okay.
A motive that's bad.
Okay. So, because he tells, keep our tongue from evil and our lips from speaking guile. So it's like two levels of evil.
Yeah.
Two aspects of evil. Depart from evil. Do good. Seek peace. Now, you see that? It says seek peace. It doesn't mean you necessarily have it, but it's something that you want to have. And so you seek peace. You pursue it. That means you do what's necessary in order to achieve peace. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. Now, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. So he's telling righteous people. That's what we'd like to think of ourselves as, huh? I mean, I don't let them know, think of it. I'm saved. I'm righteous. You're saved. You're righteous. And he tells us that the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. You see, he's giving this advice to righteous people. So let's get over this idea that if I'm saved and if I'm really as good as what I know I ought to be, that I'm not going to ever, you know, I'm just, you're human.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's not an excuse to do wrong, but it's an explanation of why wrong is done.
That's right.
There's an old nature that every one of us has. And when that old nature is controlling and leads in decisions we make, they're wrong, and what we need to be doing is departing from that. We need to seek peace instead of that. And don't let the devil camp on your doorstep and make you feel like an absolute failure because you don't live like an angel and have a halo around you. The reality of life. But God is able to take us and make think about what you used to be like. Think about where the Lord's brought you from. That in itself is evidence that God can work and is working. And he's still working on me to make me what I ought to be.
Amen.
Took him just a week to make the moon and stars. Do 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 do. But he's still working on me. It's a lifelong project. Lifelong project. All right. Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. There we go. One page of notes.
Amen.
Now we're going to take prayer requests. Remember, young people, children get one per night. Let's be